It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Buddy, I was bouncing off the walls like 302 to 340. We bring in a Philly guy, and you're like, it's not Sixers and Eagles. Dallas who? You name the whole offense. John Marks does radio in Philly. You don't have to get in the whole. God, you were so fired up.
I almost asked him about Big Dom, but we didn't get to it.
You know what? I will never – any Philly person we have on that we know who's good, because you can get some people on who stink, we will – we cheated you about 4 minutes there. So we closed that last hour talking about Paul George potentially going to Philly. I think John Marks nailed it at the beginning, and he didn't exactly say what I thought he was going to say, but he actually kind of hammered on Philly, saying it's really not a destination city. My biggest thing, and I say this about lots of players in those areas, Paul George doesn't want to play in Philadelphia. It's too intense.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at – he played 74 games this last year. Like, the last 4 years before that, whatever, COVID year, but every year he plays, like, 42, 56, right. Like that.
No.
That's not a big three when the guy's going to be around half the season. You're going to spend $50 million a year on him. They don't – they escaped Tobias Harris in that salary. Now get layers of players.
Well, that's how I feel, too. And you can't call yourself a playoff P and then go to Philly and not perform in the playoffs because he would get absolutely annihilated. So, yeah, I you know what's funny? I saw this map. And I tried to save it. I don't know what I did with it because I'm an idiot. But there's like it was like vertical lines of regions. And it had the percentage of wins of all their sports teams. And the Northeast, like that, you know, that right side was 65% win percentage in all their sports. Like, you know, the major sports.
Why do you think that happens?
Just the competitiveness and the you know, they have to keep up with the fans. I mean, they bloodlust. They demand it.
You'll get annihilated.
Yes. Totally agree.
You'll get annihilated and mocked and chided, and owners hear that stuff, and then media people who show up, they're of that ilk, they're of that mindset. There is no – like I pointed it out last year. The Mets deal off Verlander and Scherzer, and then Scherzer said something to some reporter, and he's like, oh, management told me 2024 is going to be a rebuilding year. And I was like – at the time I said it. I'm like, the Mets aren't going to rebuild.
No.
And then this year, as soon as a couple things go wrong, and they're like, ah! Like, I thought you were rebuilding.
No.
That, by the way, that organization has been freaking
it's the Mets.
Cursed. It's cursed for a long time. I just saw, this is a little hardcore on baseball, but I just saw today they're like, they're going to bring up Christian Scott or whatever his name is, Jose Budo.
Yeah.
Like, why aren't they up now?
Yeah. Oh, I know.
You're not good. These are your young pitchers. Throw them.
Well, I think they go into the season expecting to be good, and then they just don't know what to do when they're not good.
Now, I don't. I have to look back and see if anyone from the Mets actually confirmed that 2024 was going to be a transition year.
I don't think that
happened. There's no transition years.
No.
The only.
Well, at least not. They weren't going to say it publicly because they go nuts.
There's some hockey teams that can get away with it. Like, I think the Flyers can get away with it. They've been transitioning for a while.
Yeah.
But they're the fourth team in town.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Other teams? That's why. I mean. The tolerance for the freaking process, which they didn't nail it.
Well, I
mean, they didn't nail it, and then because they didn't nail it, the Celtics got the players. Can you imagine if the Sixers, if that organization had taken?
I know. They would have Joel Embiid, Brown, and Tatum. I know.
Bad management, man.
It's ridiculous.
Screws you up. All right, Big Four time.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents... The Big Four at Four. Number four.
Any interest in Copa America, which is landing here? Obviously, it's being played all around the country, but we got two games this week, Wednesday and Friday. Nothing, huh?
Yeah. Whatever.
I mean, the morning show loves it.
Oh, I know.
Bischoff loves it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm always prepared to talk 2 hours of soccer when I go on the press box.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Good decision on that part. Ecuador and Jamaica. And then Brazil's playing on Friday. Ecuador, Jamaica tomorrow.
Sure.
What do you think? What kind of crowd?
Yeah, Vegas, man. I don't know. I'm going to think not great, but I could be wrong. I mean, hopefully it's Vegas. I want it to do well. So,
Front Office Sports said Copa America is struggling to fill U.S. stadiums after 1 week in a play. Argentina, Canada nearly filled Mercedes-Benz Stadium. That's what, in Atlanta. Of course, the problem there was the grass sucked, and they all complained about that.
Sure.
But games like Venezuela, Ecuador, less than half full with fans, pointing to high ticket prices. Now, we on this show like to monitor the secondary market, because I will continue to repeat this theme, and I think we're doing a public service. We have something going on here where ticket brokers, secondhand market, is getting to scoop up a lot of tickets, right? So I've talked about Aces are sold out. They've announced it on multiple occasions.
Yeah.
Friday's game against arguably the best or second best team in the league, the Sun, we were updating every hour get-in price. And at 5 o'clock before a 7 o'clock game, the get-in price upstairs, and Mandalay's not that big, it was $13 a ticket.
Yeah.
Now, I've been on the opposite side where I've been duped and I paid a lot of money. And then I go in and it's half empty. I'm like, son of a... When I looked at get-in for this... Soccer in a 57,000 seat stadium, 65 with all the other, you know, the suites and everything. $57, $63 a ticket. I think it dumps lower tomorrow.
Well, I was gonna say
I could call a source, and if I was guessing right now, I would guess that they're at like maybe 25,000 people. Vegas is very peculiar on certain sports, and especially in the big stadium.
Yeah, well, the point I was going to make, you already made it. But, yeah, just say it's a sellout like the WNBA does. It doesn't matter if anybody shows up, obviously. They call it a sellout. You look at the game, and there's huge swaths of empty seats.
You love that. You love that so much. Number three.
Number three.
This is a great headline because it meshes two really good stories. Was Matt Stafford's wife a weirdo for admitting she hawked Tua, her husband's backup in college? What do you think?
I think, yes. Well, I mean, yes.
What a cool chick.
Yeah, right. No, that's awful. That's terrible. And if you've seen the guy, the backup, and I mean, I'm not trying to say I'm a looker or anything, but I'd be so mad if I was Stafford just because, you know, he looks like a weirdo or something. But anyways, I do think this, though. You put a microphone in somebody's face who's not used to being on the microphone, a lot of times they're going to say stuff, and there's no going back, and now it's on tape. So that sucks for Stafford. But, yeah, I'd be really pissed.
Here's the problem. She's not a novice.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
She's not. She's done a podcast of her own. She was a guest. And I could see she got kind of wrapped in the, you know, the you go girl attitude of the
right.
show. She's done it before. She's been on podcast her own for years.
Oh, well, then she's, yeah.
She doesn't. I mean, listen, if there's some girl talk in the corner, whatever, girl's day out.
Right.
There's no mics or.
Yeah.
I mean, say whatever you want. You want to, you know, whatever. You want to compare freaking. Who's dropping the hammer on the table and breaking it, or who's rocking a freaking thimble?
Yeah.
You do it. If you want to shame your husband, you can do that. But on a podcast, what's the point?
Yeah, get your groove on, or get your groove back off air, I think. Yes.
Stella, Kelly, whatever it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I when I saw that, and we read the reaction the other day, it was just Sean Merriman had retweeted it. It was like, I feel so bad for him. Like, what are you doing?
Well, you have a significant other. What if she did that?
She might do it. She's not doing it. She's not going to do it publicly. I'm sure she hammers me all the time to her friends.
I'm saying on a podcast, though, you know people are going to see.
I mean, could I get annoyed? I mean, she could also fire back and go, you know what, I hear what you say, you know, all the stories on the air. Now, for the most part, my stories are incredibly complimentary about her being a sports fan,
sure.
or kind of like a psychotic sports fan sometimes.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. Kelly Stafford's a weirdo, and Matt Stafford seems like the opposite type of dude.
Right. I don't know him, but
dude, she's done that to him before. Something about, I think it was beginning of last year, she said something like, you know, oh, the young players, you know, Matthew's having trouble blending with them. It's like a new era. They're on their phones all the time. And I'm like, he told you that at home.
Right.
Why are you on a podcast basically outing him for what he's saying about his teammates?
Do you think maybe he's using her as an intermediary in that area, though? Not for the Hawk Tui thing.
That he wanted the message out. So
yeah, right. About the players.
Okay, well, but like you said, in this case, you know what? I'd like you to tell the story about doinking someone on the side to fool me into marrying you so you could have my fortune.
Yeah.
God, I hope she's rich on her own.
Wow. She's going to be.
She might be.
If they get divorced, right?
I often wonder what's going on there, too, right? They got married pretty young.
So yeah.
Likelihood that he knew what was coming? Probably nothing. So good luck, buddy.
If he didn't know, he knows now.
Can't really threaten her with anything when she's going out there talking about guys she's been doinking on the side in the past.
Number two.
Full disclosure. Makes it more fun. All right. Commissioner's Cup tonight. Minneapolis, New York Liberty. I don't think you answered. You just sat there in silence and looked at me on the soccer question. Come on, it's WNBA. Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, they've made us all fans.
Yeah.
The Lynx are good. Liberty are now I think they're the bad guys. I don't like that Stewie. Screw her.
Man, I got to be honest. People are going to get mad at me, though. I don't care. I got to be honest. When you see...
Well, who's going to get mad at you? If you don't like it, you don't like it.
No, it's not that. It's like... Because, there's a lot of new eyes on the league, right? And I don't think a lot of people understood. You know, because if you haven't watched before, you wouldn't know what goes on in the league. But when you see, like... a wide open pass and it like hits a girl in the face, or like a girl like tries to do a layup like six times, gets her own rebound. It's kind of like, you know, the product maybe.
Okay. The game tonight is on Amazon. I wonder if it's going to set record. It is the Commissioner's Cup. This guy, as opposed to every other game, other games this season have mattered to get to the Commissioner's Cup and also get to the playoffs. But this is the most meaningful game of the season. Shouldn't it come close to setting a record? But again, it has the Liberty.
Yeah.
And the Lynx, which means there's no Caitlin Clark and no Angel Reese.
Yeah.
It should still do good numbers, but it is on Amazon, so I'm curious to see what the numbers are on Amazon.
No Caitlin Clark means fake sellout. That's what I've learned this year, too, by watching the WNBA.
You know they had to move this, too. They had to move it up because they were going to do it at Barclays Center in Brooklyn, home of the Liberty, and they're like, NBA draft, sorry. We had a booked way out. Then the WNBA is like, oh, we'll move it to Minnesota. And Liberty, you're like, no, we earned it.
Right.
There's a lot of money for the teams here. Winning team wins $500,000. So on average, each player gets about $45,000, which doesn't sound, for the rest of us. Okay. But for these women, if some of them are making $75,000, $100,000 a year, this is half their salary. So it's a big deal. So now they moved it out on Long Island. Now they're at the Islanders Hockey Arena.
They should play at Rucker Park. It'll look full there.
Boy, wouldn't that have been
right?
Good promotion?
Yeah.
Not going to get a lot of revenue in terms of the gate.
Yeah, I guess not. But, people would watch.
I wonder how big a crowd's going to show up, though.
We
mapped it yesterday.
Yeah.
33 miles from Barclays to UBS. The drive around this time was an hour and 15 minutes from Brooklyn.
I joke, but I think it'll be pretty good crowd.
Well, you'll be watching it. We know we will.
Yeah, of course.
You hate the fake sellouts. Number one.
Number one.
I have a lot of hopes for J.J. Redick. We're going to get back to him cussing, because that was a big story, offended a lot of people. Cussing yesterday at the Lakers press conference. And I laid out this whole scenario of giving another reason I was excited about J.J. Redick being part of the organization and being tight with LeBron, is that maybe he could serve as almost an assistant GM and at times talk LeBron out of the dumb moves that he and Pelinka and Rich Paul make. Like tearing down the 2020 team and then replacing it with his friends or other clients. I would hope J.J. Redick has he seems very outspoken. He's been trained in the media. Do you think he has the nuts to go, LeBron? No Chris Paul. He's 100. No one likes him. I played with him. I don't like him.
I do think that. I think that because he showed, he was on, when he was on that First Take show or whatever, he went at him. He did. He went at him.
He went at Stephen A. Smith.
No, but I'm just saying. Even on LeBron's podcast, he says things that I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't think he would say that to LeBron.
He toppled Stephen A. He'll be able to go after LeBron.
Not that. I'm just saying he has a little edge to him that you could see that I think would come out if that happened. I don't think he's going to be, sit there and be passive like a yes man or anything.
This hour is brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. Give him a call. There is an office in Reno and Vegas and downtown Vegas and Henderson. 766-1400, dial 775 in the north.
Now, back to Cofield and Company on ESPN, Las Vegas, and ESPN, Reno.
Angel Reese is a racist.
I'm not going to sit here and say that it's racism. I think it's jealousy.
Would they be as jealous if the girl was black?
No.
No. Well, there's my point.
I think that the WNBA is stuck in 1985 NBA basketball. Angel Reese is like Bill Lane Beer. The fact that, you know what I'm saying? Or Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, that was Michael Rapaport.
Yeah.
Who was, I don't know what he was on. Also, Sid Rosenberg, New York radio host, calling Angel Reese a racist. I don't know if she's racist or not. As I've been saying, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm just fired up that people are talking about her. And we just discussed going to break. What kind of audience are going to get for the Commissioner's Cup? It's Minnesota against the Liberty. The Liberty are the best team in the WNBA right now until the Aces get it together. And I'm not sure they're going to get it together at the level of the Liberty because of the Olympic break and having four players go away. This game tonight, because it's on Amazon, Commissioner's Cup, will not do the traffic, record-setting traffic. By the way, Caitlin Clark again set a record on Ion. I think they had one of her games set a record on Ion with over a million viewers about 2 weeks ago, and then her most recent game did like 1.23 million. The game over the weekend, I got to look at the numbers. I think it topped out at 2.5 million. It's one of the three highest rated. It was a Sunday afternoon game. It's one of the three highest rated WNBA games in history. The other two are Caitlin Clark games.
Yeah, I know.
So true. I hope there's some spillover tonight to see the best team in the WNBA in the Liberty and the Lynx, who are very good, but don't expect those numbers.
No.
But it's all, this is all part of it. And, you know, in Sid Rosenberg's case, you know, the Sidiot, as people will call him, he's a crazy guy. I worked with him
at a
distance years ago.
Really?
We'll say liked, he's about my age, he's a little bit older.
I don't even know how old you are.
No one needs to know.
Okay.
Yeah, 54. He might be the same. He might be younger.
Damn, I
don't
know.
He's
that old.
I know, right? I act very immature. Or I look 68.
No, I think he looks younger.
He's a wild man. He's a wild man. So I don't. He's the one who, he used to do sports on Imus.
I was just gonna say, is it kind of like Howard Stern and Imus? Like you didn't like him because he?
Oh no, I didn't say I didn't like him.
Oh okay.
No. I said he's a wild guy.
Oh, okay.
Like addictions, every addiction you could have. He's had them over the years. No, he's a good radio guy because he's crazy. He's the one who went on Imus and was bragging about stealing DirecTV back in the day because they had this little machine and cards.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about it.
That must be a Northeast thing because every friend.
I don't know anything about that.
Every friend I had in Jersey had it, yeah. And one of the guy's houses was a cop, and he was selling them.
Greg, not only did he say he had it, but he was like, hey, you should get this. And DirecTV people are like. So they went after him.
That's awesome.
They went after him.
I mean, not awesome, but.
Yeah. Well, it kind of is. Didn't happen to me, but
yeah,
that was him. Yeah, so he's going after Angel Reese for being a racist. Maybe that's her motivation in her rivalry with Caitlin Clark. Over the weekend, as I mentioned, big ratings. Angel Reese is turning into a pretty reliable player as sort of a brawl ball inside power. She had 25 and 15. She doesn't have much of an offensive game. It's just power. But guess what? In a league where, let me say this correctly because I said it incorrectly yesterday. As a man who's 6'3", you're essentially like 6'8", 6'9", if you were a guy.
Sure.
There are lots of guys who've been really good players at 6'9", 250, you know, pushing people around, muscling people, sometimes missing, grabbing their own offensive rebounds.
Yeah.
She's an enforcer. Like, I can't wait to see. This one I'm excited about. Aces and the Sky play in Chicago at a sellout. don't pan the crowd. And I want to see what, we've talked about this motivation to crush these rookies.
Right.
If Asia Wilson is being covered by Angel Reese, if I'm Asia Wilson, I'm either fouling her off the floor or I'm throwing and I'm driving through her freaking head and I'm going for 40 and 25. I don't know if she can do that. And we'll see if she can be stopped. Aces are not really a power team, so
yeah.
We'll see what Reese does. Maybe she has 2 points and five rebounds and fouls out. And
three of them are off her own shots.
Are you bothered by that? Because I've seen a lot of that, too. Now we're grading. Listen,
you
mentioned it 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, I'll tell you
what
it is.
There are more layups missed in the WNBA than the NBA.
Yeah.
So what? She goes and gets
them. All right. It's fine. My point
is. They don't count. Yeah, they do.
There's a lot of mouth and not a lot of skills, what I'm saying, man. I mean, every single game, there's a soundbite afterwards. It's completely unnecessary. You know, and there's different expectations for different players. Certain players come out and they have to be like, oh, yeah, I just want everyone to, you know, have a good game and we're competing. And then it's okay. The Chicago Skies, I don't know why I can't talk. The Chicago Skies account.
This is how much they get you worked up?
Yes. But their account put out a tweet. I don't know if you saw this. It was after the game against the Fever. And it's like, you know, when people put like the SpongeBob meme and then they put like the letters up and down. Like uppercase, lowercase, like, and it was like some stupid. I thought that Caitlin Clark could whip, like some stupid tweet,
really talking trash.
Yeah, and I'm like, dude, you're down 2-1 in the series anyway against one of the worst teams in the league.
But
And, like, people just love it. They keep, you know, they go after. They're just like, oh, yeah, yeah, talk more, talk more. If it was anybody else, they'd be pissed off. It's like, dude, shut up already. Like, I mean, it's crazy. I don't know if it's racism, but it's annoying. I mean, it's stupid. I don't know. Be good first.
Right? You see it. You see it. Everyone who's on the show, we light the flame. Just blowtorch it. Just, everyone goes crazy.
It is. It's nuts.
Like, did you ever think that you'd be getting this worked up?
About the WNBA? No. That's what I'm saying.
And there are guys all over the place. And this is not a shot at women. But the league has been around for 25 years.
Right.
They built an audience with a certain number of women. Maybe they're going to grow it with a few more women. But what they always needed to get the big numbers was men. And that's not a sexist statement because men drive sports.
Right.
Naturally, there's more males who are into sports than there are women.
Well, that's another thing.
You just base it on the numbers.
Yes.
And you look at, I mean, we do radio, right?
Yeah.
And for years, we've done the same show in essence. I think it's better now than it was. But we've done the same show in essence from 2004 on where we can do the hardcore sports. We can be stat nerds. We can have inane arguments. You know, we used to argue over, like, MVP, right? I'm not doing that anymore. And then we would always mix in all of the other stuff. Like, coming up, we're going to talk about, I don't know what's going on with you and why you're living in a hotel, but I want to know, right? But we mix in all of that stuff. The Kelly Stafford, Matt Stafford talking about, dude, you were doinking in the past. Public.
Sure.
We always did that. And there was this era where people were like, stick to sports. Shut up. And I used to tell them all the time, sports are bigger than just predictions and debates and stats.
Yeah.
Right? To get the bigger audience, it's all the stuff around sports that titillates people. And
well, especially in basketball, even the NBA, it's all driven by drama. Exactly.
The storylines are driving this thing. And unfortunately, yes. I don't know if the women in the past didn't lean into the storylines enough because playing basketball just is not enough.
Right.
It's got to be everything else involved. Like, honestly, it's a chicken and the egg thing. If people had covered Diana Taurasi over the years, she would be a reviled individual, but she would also be loved by many. But if people really knew how aggressive she was, whatever really went down in her fight to basically kick Skylar Diggins-Smith, is that her last name now, off the team, I would love to know who actually flexed the muscle on the, hey, this is the Olympic team, they're not on it. Because that's what happened, right?
Yeah.
But that interests people. And hiding that... And does it make you feel uncomfortable? Or I just want to play basketball. Well, then you just want to make $38,000 a year.
Exactly.
Or whatever the cap
is. Yeah, you want to make what a line cook makes, then that's fine.
Well,
but
they make more than that, and they make a decent living for a 40-game season. But it blows up when more fans – and listen, a lot of the discourse is craziness.
It's stupid.
I mean, Michael Rapaport and Sid arguing about whether she's a racist, and Michael Rapaport can't speak.
Right.
That, like, but they're getting like all worked up about it. You're screaming about it.
Well, it's just
great
because it's so annoying. It's like, you know, you're complaining when you're flying on planes with goats and, you know, not getting paid anything and nobody was watching. Now everybody's watching. You're like, well, don't watch like that. It's like, dude, that's how it works. I'm sorry. You're going to get covered now. That's how it works.
A day or two after Jason Whitlock had said Angel Reese is the most overrated athlete in all of sports, she had a big game on Sunday. Great, he says, great game from Angel Reese. She was properly focused from the jump. However, Christy Sides is a bad coach. How many people were breaking down WNBA coaches? And now this lady gets slaughtered
right
on a nightly basis. Maybe not nightly. Robert Griffin, back-to-back possessions in Indiana Fever. Don't put the ball in the hands of Caitlin Clark. Went down two and down three. What are you doing? In caps. Like, RG3, football season. Like, bro. Chill.
I know.
Did you see the video? Someone put out a video in that game. Caitlin Clark, I think she got a handoff feed right under her own defensive basket. She gets to about, say, 5 feet in front of the free throw line, throws a bounce pass, like beautiful bounce pass.
Yeah.
One of her teammates catches it about 8 feet from the basket, tries to gather herself, and then guns it against the bottom of the glass. And everyone's like, team sucks!
I know.
Now people want to track the turnovers.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Really her fault.
Yeah, yeah. The new thing now is turnovers, but half the turnovers like hit their teammate in the head. I'm like, come on.
I love this so much. And I appreciate the skill that they have. I appreciate the intensity. I appreciate the trash talk.
Yeah.
It's dynamite.
I guess.
You love it.
Oh,
I
love it.
You tweet about it every day.
Don't get me wrong.
I
love it. I love it. I'm just saying, like, you know, sometimes the skill is a little, leaves a little to be desired.
Well, I mean, you are a great basketball player.
I can dunk right now. No, I can't.
During the break, I put a video on the rundown. Angel Reese is going to work on her face-up game, her three-point game.
Yeah.
I want you to review her three-point shot during the break and give us some feedback.
Oh, don't laugh.
All right, fine. No, she's working on it.
No, it's fine.
No, she's working. Seriously.
Okay.
She's working on it.
I thought you were giving me a...
Battleborn Injury Alert is bringing you the 4 o'clock hour. Maybe not this part. 766-1400 is the number. Office in Reno. You got L775 and three offices in the Vegas area. Vegas, downtown Vegas, and in Hendo.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
About 30 minutes away from Miles Simmons going to check in, talk some NFL, also get back to the Lakers stuff. I still haven't given the reaction. I gave my reaction to J.J. Redick and his cussing yesterday. We'll get more of that reaction in a couple of minutes. Reminder, Summer of Fun is back. It's brought to you by Planet Nissan. What is the Summer of Fun? Well, at ESPN Las Vegas, we give away 8 trips in 8 weeks. This week's trip is a 6-day, 5-night trip to Nashville. Jack Daniel's Distillery Tour included. A lot of spending money. Or you can just take the straight-up cash option. It's brought to you by Planet Nissan. All you got to do is text in. Code word of the day, 702-364-1100. Text 702. Make sure it's on there. 702-364-1100. The code word is airport. Airport. 702-364-1100. And you are automatically qualified for a chance to win this week's trip to Nashville, or as they like to call it. They like to call it Nash Vegas. I almost sent you a picture. There was some random picture up on Twitter from some southern football site that had that the Vegas crest and then Stark Vegas.
I saw that.
Mississippi State.
I saw that. Yeah, you said it to me.
Yeah. I think I tagged you. Yeah. And I'm sure you were like, this is stupid.
It is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. Yeah.
Yes.
There's Vegas and there's not Vegas.
Yes. And then there's Starkville.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Stop. I don't even remember you saying this the other day. You were talking at some point. Were you talking about old people driving slow?
Yes.
I don't remember why we were talking about
that.
But I don't know. I go back and I'm like, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I forget a lot of things, too. But I did remember this because it reminded me of it. I was because, you know, when you see an old person driving slow, and this isn't mean or, like, you know, ages. It's just the fact that if I was super old, I would do literally whatever I want. And when I see someone driving slow, I'm like, come on, man. Like, who knows how much time you have left? Go have fun. You know, that kind of thing.
That was what you said.
Yeah. So it wasn't like I was.
So you're now connecting this to John Force, who, by the way, I had no idea he was 75 years old.
Yeah, I know.
Why, he's still driving?
Yes, dude. Dude, the guy's going...
Drag racing? Is it, like, scaled down a little bit?
He was going 302 miles an hour.
I guess not.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
302? He's 75. 302. But according to you...
Go do it.
Do it.
Yes. If you're 75 right now, go find this guy and see if he can put you on a track and get in a drag race. Dude, there's a thing here called the Drag Race Experience down at the track that I've actually done before. And I remember there was somebody going before me, and she was a woman from, like, local news here or something. And when she got out of that drag race experience, remember in, like, what's that movie with Chevy Chase? And they're like secret agents, spies like us.
Okay.
They go in this machine that spins them around fast, and their faces are, like, stuck because they were going so fast in the machine. That's what her face looked like when she got out of this car. Like, it was so much fun. If you're over, I don't know, 65, get down to the track right now and try that drag race experience. And then go drive like that in your normal car every day. I mean, not illegally. You should do this. You know, you should do what's legal. But, you know, go find a stretch of road where there's nobody there. So, I don't know.
My mind at 75 driving 300 miles an hour. I guess not. Immediately went to Belichick, who's like 71.
Yeah.
And this whole deal with this 24-year-old.
Yeah.
I was like, John Force has got to be with like a 20-something. But I guess he looks like he's been married for 40 years. So,
yeah.
God bless him.
Hey. Look,
that's what you like. God
bless. He's doing it right. He's doing it right.
Don't get all fake.
What? Yes.
I know what you're thinking. You're like, move on, bro. You're driving 300.
Well, I know. Like, I saw this lady. Okay.
You're in a relationship still? Poor. I think we had Ashley Force in here last year. You know what? I'm stopping.
Okay.
Because keep going. Because I get myself in these situations where
you,
I'm
Greg,
like,
keep going. I'll
I know, because I'm going to stop. Because I got myself in these situations where I'm like suggesting that now he needs to fornicate on the side.
Right.
I don't know if this daughter is from, I assume they've been together 40 years, so the kid's got to be from this lady. I don't know.
Who knows?
But in the end, I think I just wanted to get to the point. Good for you, Belichick.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Did you see the Ring doorbell, supposedly, of him coming out of the house?
Yeah. Oh, we love when it first came out, we loved it. Comes out, he's got like that meaty chest.
He takes a nice big breath.
Yeah, he's like, oh, what a morning. Walking out of some like shanty in Massachusetts.
Yeah,
but by the way,
I know.
That thing's worth $800,000.
Exactly.
I'm like,
it looked like the town from Perfect Storm.
The crazy thing is, someone labeled it, because they just want the hits, they labeled it like Walk of Shame. He's walking down to get the newspaper.
Yeah.
Shame?
Shame.
Walking out, he's like, yeah!
Yeah.
70, 20-something inside.
Yeah, shame. Two continental breakfasts in 10 minutes.
A dream 30 years in the making
is
a reality.
Whoa!
The Florida Panthers have won the Stanley Cup.
Lord Stanley is coming home. You always will have a place in South Florida. Oh, my God.
The Panthers have won the Stanley Cup for the first time in franchise history.
Yeah.
Slow it down, come back. Otherwise, we're going to be going really fast. Oh, yeah! All right, you know what? I got respect for that one. That was Panthers Radio Network.
Yeah.
I got to look up that guy's name.
That one guy tailed off, man. I thought something happened to him.
Former player, I assume, screaming because I was accusing Florida of not deserving a Stanley Cup. I like that enthusiasm.
He was like, ah! He kind of just disappeared for a second. I was like,
final call. He went out in a cup. That's kind of genuine. It's cool.
No, it did. I'm just saying he lost a little something there at the end. Something happened to him. I don't know what it was.
I will go back to the call that I will defend forever. If the play-by-play guy is not bringing energy and stops talking, then I will go full Tony Romo on you and scream and talk for a minute, which everyone hated the end of the last Super Bowl. I'm like the only one who's like, Romo did his job. Nance stopped talking.
Yeah, no, that's true. If you go back and
watch. Everyone I've talked to about this says Romo sucks and doesn't know what he's doing. Why did he step all over legendary Jim Nance? I'm like, Nance stopped.
No, I agree. And I've actually seen this I remember the Super Bowl with the Eagles and the Patriots. I thought the when they did the Philly special, the call by Al Michaels, I was like, dude, is somebody going to check his pulse? Like, what is this? And like, Buck does it sometimes too. A guy will score a touchdown. And he's like, and he scored, I guess. I'm like, okay, that's real fun. Thanks.
This dude left no question about his desire or passion. He was awesome. So what's going on, buddy?
Oh, you know.
Everything good with you? Life is good? You know, you told me you might have had a little trouble on the home front, and then I see you have great pictures from the Strip.
Yeah.
Looks like it's coming out of, like, a hotel room.
Yeah.
What's going on here? By the way, Greg Salerno in. Cofield & Company.
I got to be honest. First of all, I had a house. So it wasn't like I was like, you know, I had a house and I left it because I went to go move in to another house where I thought I was going to save some money, you know, like rent a room. And it wasn't a relationship type of situation. It was more of a roommate friend type of situation. Mm-hmm. But it just didn't, you know, I don't know. Some people just can't live with other people, I guess. Or I don't know. Whatever happened, I decided to leave. And I was going to live in a storage shed, but it was kind of warm, you know.
Go back. What?
Well, my plan was, if I could just live in a storage shed for like 2 months, I would have so much money, I could just go get first and last on another place, and then I'd be fine and just keep living there. But then I found this hotel that if you have a local ID, you get no resort fees. So for like Sunday through Thursday, I could stay there for like $300, which is nothing. And it's awesome. I got a maid. I got no utilities. I got, I get cable. As soon as I open the windows, there's this big panoramic view of the Strip. I mean, there's a security downstairs that doesn't let people in unless I want them to. It's pretty awesome. I mean, it's like living in a high-rise.
You're like in a VIP section.
That's what I'm saying.
Property.
I'm like
I didn't
in
know
a,
that.
Yeah. I'm like in a an ivory tower, as Doug would say.
I'm trying to think this weekend. We should go hang at the pool, at your hotel pool on Sunday.
All right. I'm down.
Show off the moves a little bit. I like to get some color.
I know, but now I got to wear like a onesie. I can't wear like a – I can't go shirtless at the pool, man. I'm not there yet.
You don't have to.
Yeah, but how can I swim then? What am I going to swim in? Like swim one race. Of those – oh, like a – I went to a suit.
Hey, you buy swim shirts. I got them.
You really?
I don't have your size.
You the swim shirt? What
They're
is
beautiful,
that?
Yeah. You're not going to get all burnt. It's nice.
Dude, I'm not wearing that. That's worse than just going shirtless.
Don't be embarrassed.
I mean,
you're already embarrassed about going shirtless. What, and now you're going to get on yourself for wearing a little stretchy lycra shirt?
It's almost like better to like just have your boobs hang out though than it is to like wear a shirt because they know you have them.
Don't worry about.
I don't know, man. I'm not there yet. If I, you know, 30,
you're not there yet.
30, 40 more pounds. I think I would be.
Hold
okay.
Hold on here a second. Let me tie my Velcro shoe. Any day now, I'm going Velcro.
Yeah,
I do not care.
Oh, I've said that for a million years. Look, dude, I don't even tie my shoes. I put little knots on them so the shoelaces can't go through. I use my slip-ons.
Within 5 years, there's no reason at this age to have anything that's not a slip-on.
No. I said Velcro back in the day was the best thing. I don't even understand how it didn't win because, I mean, shoelaces.
How it didn't win?
Well, I mean, shoelaces are so difficult compared to Velcro. Like, why wouldn't that just be the better option?
Serious note, and we'll get to the text line. I haven't checked it here, so I know we got some text earlier. 702-364-1100. Can you get Velcro shoes for guys? Are they pretty readily available?
I don't know, but I think
where can you get them, and is it a swap meet thing?
Probably. Yeah, I mean.
I tell you, I went the other day to one of the outlet malls. Mm-hmm. I guess I'll name it. We're giving a pop. I needed to go get something, and which is why you go to stores. But, you're walking outside. I'm like, my God, it is the face of the sun right now. It's hot.
Yeah.
It's very hot. And then I immediately thought of going over to the swap meet. You ever go to the swap meet?
I have. The one over here?
I don't know what it is over there. Well, first of all, it's blacktop.
Oh.
So that.
Yeah.
But when it's hot, like you drink like, whatever, 5 micheladas, and you're like, I'm parched. It's like you never catch up.
Well, day drinking in Vegas is deadly anyway, man. That's tough.
Michelada, 5 micheladas in the sun?
Yeah, that's tough.
That's testing the gut.
It is.
Big time.
No, I agree.
But it sounds like you're doing okay.
I love it. I honestly feel free. You know, like when Walter White finds out he doesn't have long to live?
Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel like that, man. I feel like I'm alive. I'm free again. I don't know what happened in my life, but all of a sudden I feel good.
Well, this is the turning point.
Yeah.
You're going to look back on this and go, oh, yeah, I remember that. And you'll be like, I missed that when I could afford it. Maybe this could be the beginning of a bigger downfall.
My demise might be coming, but right now it's fun.
So you're like an economical Howard Hughes.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not.
You cut your nails and your hair.
I don't like go to the restroom in bottles. But yeah, other than that, sure.
That's next.
By August.
Do you keep the room relatively clean? Like, do you have a relationship with the service crew? Not that way, but
no.
Where you'd be embarrassed to like have it be a slut.
Yeah, I try to keep everything. You know, I mean, towels and stuff I leave in the bathroom wherever because I don't know what to do with. I mean, hang them up. I try, but then they come in and replace them. But yeah, and I try not to make it too messy. Like even if I know if they're coming in and I have stuff to throw out, I'll throw it in the trash can, like cup stuff like that, because I don't want them to like think I'm a slob.
Your story sometimes you send over. Let me read this. They searched a hotel for suspicion of stealing packages and found a bunch of checks made out to random people. Who still writes checks? So I figure there's a check take, and then there's a take on like you stealing something. But what does it have to do with hotels?
Okay. There was these
Tie
guys
us all together.
These guys were dressed up as postal workers, and they were doing it in Vegas for a while.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then they wound up in Arizona. So when they were in Arizona, somehow they tracked them down to their hotel wherever they were staying. And inside that hotel, they knew they were stealing packages, but they were also found a whole bunch of checks made out to other people that weren't the people they were looking for. So it reminded me of the story when I was a kid. Like when I was 6 years old, they used to have mailboxes, not like clusters like now that are locked. They were just regular mailboxes. You pull them open. And me and this other six-year-old kid went around the neighborhood and took all the Christmas cards, and we took the checks out of them, and we had them like in a little stack, and there was this old lady, like super old lady down the street, who used to give us cookies and stuff. So we went down there and tried to have her cash the checks for us, dimed on us. So I was talking to the cops at like 6. It was awful. I was scared.
What?
Yeah.
That was meandering.
Well, you didn't.
You had a criminal mind at 6?
I mean,
how did you think it was going to work?
I have no idea. Well, we did get some money. I mean, there was like maybe $11 in there and like dollars that grandma sent kids. But yeah, I don't know.
The checks.
But the checks, we didn't know how to do it. So we just went to this old lady and asked her because she used to give us cookies and let us in.
Oh, okay, I get it.
You know, down the street. And so we were like, hey, while we're here, and we just pulled out a stack of checks. And she was like, hold on a second, and went to the phone. And like,
oh, no.
Yeah, she dined
Why couldn't she just give you a lecture?
Exactly, or send me a call. Tell my parents at least, you know. I mean, interrogate it when I'm six.
You go to juvie?
No, I was six.
I don't know.
No. They just, you know, they brought me to my parents' house. My parents, you know, not very happy. My dad.
When can you first go to juvie?
I'm not sure. I never went to juvie, actually.
Oh, really?
No. I only went to Big Boy. Yeah, I only went to
You did girl. Go to Big Boy.
Yeah.
Not the Penn, though, right? Like a county?
Yeah, I went to the Penn, too.
You did?
Yeah. That's, damn. I know. Sucks. That's 30 years ago, though.
Get on the couch. Let's psychoanalyze you here. Well, now I feel completely silly. I was going to ask you, I know you like to watch TV.
Yeah.
Is being in a hotel a... Like, do you retire at the end of the night and watch TV, or are you just hustling and bustling all the time? And was like an oyster bar at the place, are you going there all the time?
Yeah, I go to – there's a cafe downstairs. It's actually very reasonable, and it's good.
Sure.
I go there. I spend a lot of time in the casino. Sometimes I play, like, caveman keno just to sit there for a while and not losing a lot of money, you know, and just have fun. They'll pass you drinks for free, obviously, while you're sitting there. Sometimes I have a friend come hang out or something. That's fun. And then, yeah, I go in the room. They have Netflix app on the TV. So I can watch like old episodes of Breaking Bad or whatever I want and crash out. It's pretty much what I did last night.
So you were asking last week about a certain TV show if you should get into it with the Game of Thrones.
Oh, the new dragon one.
Nothing?
I haven't seen it yet. No.
You got to watch it. It moved to the top of my list.
Really?
I have a rolling list of shows that I'm, you know, that next week I'm like, oh, sure. I can't wait to watch it. Yeah.
It's your current top.
House of the Dragon, yeah. It's two episodes in, and, man, they're setting up. Well, you never watched the first one, right?
Well, I watched Game of Thrones.
So Game of Thrones, basically, they set it up where it's like, you get to a point, there's like six rival forces, and then there's double-crossing, and you're like, I don't know what is going to happen here.
Right.
Now, I think I know what's going to happen on this one, but I'm sure I'm wrong. But they're setting up, because it's like 200 years before Game of Thrones, and this one family is just crazy.
Is it... as gritty where, like, if you love a character, they'll kill him the next episode type of thing? Or
yes.
Oh. All right. I'm going to check it out. I know I haven't yet, but I will.
And again, I don't want to spoil it, but kids are fair game.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay.
They'll tear them apart.
I'm in.
I mean, shouldn't dragons just get you in? Or when you hear there's dragons, because, you know, we have Adams on the show, and he's like, oh, I don't like pretend, you know, stuff that couldn't really happen. Like, everything you watch is reality TV. None of that can happen.
Yeah, I mean, the dragon thing got a little weird at the end because it was like, okay, she has a dragon. Now, like, the Nightwalkers have a dragon, too. And I'm like, all right.
You
know,
what if I tell you?
Kind of jumping the shark or jumping the dragon.
Approximately, I think there's 17 dragons. And I think now there might be a wild card dragon.
Sure.
That's just, like, flying around and... doesn't have a rider. So there's the intrigue, like, who's going to, what, I mean,
see,
do you get on a dragon and then you're like, lasso, it looks to be a smaller dragon, you try to haul it in, because they're weird, too. Like, if you watch Game of Thrones, like, they'd come up, who was it, Daenerys, right?
Right.
Like, one would come up to him, to her, and be, like, right in her face and ready to, like, rawr, you know, and then smell it and be like, okay, we're cool.
Sure. It's like breaking the horse or something. I think here's what I would compare it to, though.
Number one show.
I haven't seen it yet, but it reminds me kind of Alien, where, like, in the first Alien, there's, like, one alien. And it's, like, the entire thing is around that alien. And then all of a sudden, the second one, I'm like, oh, they can kill, like, 40 aliens at a time now. Like, there's, like, 500 aliens. So, like, I'm already kind of biased going into this, but I'm still going to give it a chance.
Give it a shot.
I'm going to.
Give it a shot.
I will.
Again, I feel like a lot of things are a violation here that I used to be able to say on the air. Like, you asked me my age, and I think I'm going to turn you in. HR is going to hear about that. I mentioned my age. How much younger are you than me?
7 years. I'm 47.
I think you're too young for this.
Oh.
No. There's a documentary called Bratz. It's about the Brat Pack.
Oh, no.
Is that too young for you?
No. I remember that. I used to watch Breakfast Club and all that stuff.
You know what? I'm not going to spoil it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to mention something in it because I watched, I don't know, 60% of it, right?
Right.
And something hit me, and I'm like, this is Greg when he talks about the sports world.
Yeah.
So we're going to hit that on the way back. We're going to talk to Miles Simmons, who's our football insider, about the Lakers. We have no direction today.
Yeah,
it's fine. No direction today.
I have no direction ever.
But I'm going to see if I can formulate why the Brat Pack and watching that reminded me of you when it comes to sports.